Okay, what did you have in mind? I climbed off of him and pulled up my panties and pants as he got rid of the condom and sorted himself out.
There's that stir-fry place. Have you been there?
I stopped mid-search for my blouse and looked at him. This time my brain was working, so I reached behind me and unclasped my bra, letting the straps drop down to my elbows and then fall to the floor. Oops, I said with a straight face. It's not like my breasts were anything spectacular. They were fairly average, maybe slightly larger, but he was a man, and men like pretty much all breasts. I sat on the desk and let him gaze at them, and when he reached out to put a hand on one, I pushed it away. No touching. You broke a rule. He smirked. I resumed getting dressed as he finished zipping up, and realized my window of getting answers out of him was closing. So if there was anything I wanted to know that he'd be reluctant to reveal, I needed to ask it now. How many women have you slept with? He shut down his computer and sighed.
I hope you're sure you want to know.
I am?
It's probably close to 30.
I had asked, but I frowned. God only knew what Peyton's number was. I'm sure it was more than 30, but my number was so low. Would you like to know my number? His eyes widened with surprise.
Yes.
5. His gorgeous eyes went even wider.
I assume your number doesn't include me.
It does. I slipped my shirt on and checked to make sure everything was back in place. Why are you single? He had just undone the knot of his tie, and his hands paused. In fact, his whole body went motionless.
Pass.
You can't pass again. I rolled my eyes. His gaze was shockingly intense and sobered me. It stole my breath.
It's because I'm not interested in being in a relationship right now.
He resumed movement, but his whole body was tense. This was the question he was nervous about? Why? His expression turned sour.
Relationships are about compromise.
His expression set into an authoritative one.
And me? I don't do compromises.
No, definitely not. But still, that's not a real answer.
So I broke a rule. What are you going to do about it?
His challenge was startling, and my brain was utterly blank, so I did my best to make sure it sounded strong. I'll think of something. Chapter 10. We were seated right away at a table near the door. Even for a Monday night, the place was busy. We'd both taken our bowls with our names written on them to the buffet and piled them with meat and veggies and deposited them by the cooking station that held a team of men hovering over woks.
We've done this backwards,
he said as we made our way back to our table.
Sex, then dinner, and afterward I'm going to ask for your number.
What if I don't give it to you?
I'm going to insist, for your file.
His expression was serious, but there was playfulness in his eyes. Let me see your phone. He passed it to me, and as I plugged my number in, a thought occurred. What exactly did he need it for? I set the phone down, and when he leaned across the table to retrieve it, my hand trapped his. What do you plan on doing with my number? I asked.
Call you?
For what? My voice dropped to a hush. Sex. His eyebrows pulled together in confusion.
I was under the impression you liked doing that with me.
I do. I released his hand, confused myself.
Evelyn.
He took a measured breath, and his face was strikingly intense.
I think we're past the point of being shy about what we want. So say it.
He was right, but it was still difficult to put into words, especially after what he'd just confessed in his office. I'm not built to do that outside of a relationship. I'll need it to be more. There was no reaction from him, sending my heart plummeting into my stomach. His pupils focused in a discerning look, evaluating me.
Pretty sure I told you I'm not interested in that. I pulled air into my lungs, unsure how to proceed. I understand, but I'm not interested in casual sex.
Did that feel casual to you?
There was that sparkling Logan personality I was familiar with. You know what I mean.
So this is what? An ultimatum?
His voice was harsh.
I'd advise against it. I don't react well to them.
This conversation was on a downward spiral. It's not an ultimatum. All I'm telling you is I can't sleep with a guy who's sleeping with other people. His mouth dropped open and snapped shut a half second later.
I understand. I won't do that.
I blinked my skeptical eyes at him.
What you're asking for is not unreasonable,
he said. He fell silent for a long moment, as if considering something.
I'm not interested in a relationship, but I am interested in you. I can be exclusive to that.
Was he trying to turn my brain into spaghetti? What did that mean? You'll be... I don't get it.
You won't have to share me, and I don't have to share you.
God, he really didn't want to put a label on it.
We need to discuss how it's going to work. It could be difficult at the office, and then there's the issue of your promotion.
Why is that an issue? I've been there long enough. Half the people already think I'm a senior designer. There was a flash of something in his eyes, and then it was gone.
Yes, that's true, but we still have the problem of critiques. Are you going to take it personally if I say something negative about your artwork?
I had to be smiling. No, boss. I'll handle it like I always do. I'm plenty used to it.
What's that mean?
Come on. I've endured your morale-boosting critique sessions for a year now. I've got a thick skin. Our server presented our food to us, and I nodded a thank you. You don't have to worry about sending me home in tears.
I've never done that.
He scoffed. He didn't know? Not me, but remember that first proof on the cupcake ad Jamie did last month? He made a noise of disgust.
I'd prefer not to.
I gave him an expectant look, waiting for him to get it.
I made her cry?
It came out before I could stop it. You can kind of be a dick. He pulled his shoulders back, like I'd shocked him. Yet he was too arrogant or stubborn to hear it.
No, I'm not. I'm honest.
Yeah, brutally honest. It's one thing to say someone's hard work isn't their best, maybe not even good. It's another to say it looks like total shit.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That cupcake ad made me want to stop eating food altogether.
He jammed his fork into his dinner.
You think what I say is bad. You should hear the feedback I get from some of our customers. And you know what it's like. Everyone with a license for Photoshop thinks they're a designer.
I'm sure it was true that he'd heard much worse things. Yeah, I know, but you can get your point across without so much edge. We think you get off on it.
We?
I wasn't sure how much I should tell him, but if it would make a difference, I had to try. I'm not the only designer who thinks that. His shoulders rose and fell, and there was defensiveness in his eyes.
Who else?
I'm not naming names, he scowled.
Give me a number.
I don't know. Maybe 20?
That's half the fucking department,
he said. I wasn't meaning to ambush you with this. Maybe we shouldn't talk about work stuff.
No, it's fine.
Although his tone said it was anything but.
Tell me then, how you would have handled Jamie's critique.
I barely remembered the ad, but the look Logan gave me was piercing, and somehow I knew if I didn't come up with something, he'd use it to prove his point. I'd have told her it was cliche and expected. Maybe to sit with a designer that has a totally different aesthetic and see what their approach would be. Jamie's stuck in a rut, I said. I don't think she's going to figure out to stop putting drop shadows on everything until you actually tell her. I was sitting across from a wax figure. I don't think he even blinked. Had I really shocked him? Wounded him? He swallowed, slowly returning to life.
She probably would have reacted differently to that.
He said it like it was painful to admit, and I was grateful to be seated when it happened. Perfect Logan Stone had admitted a mistake. You were different last Monday. Better, I said.
I'd been late to the meeting.
Oh, right.
You must not have had time to prepare because of your massage. I couldn't help but get the dig in.
I was prepared, but since my massage therapist was in a car accident and showed up 20 minutes late, I had to keep the critiques brief and on schedule. I'd already wasted enough of everyone's time. No one really cared what I had to say after that.
Oh. It had been true. You could have tried apologizing. He gave me a tight smile. No, that wasn't his style. Okay, let's forget about that, I said. I promise I won't hold a grudge if you want to be honest with my work. That's separate from, I gestured between us, what this is.
What this is, he said, is against policy. That's why we're not going to tell anyone about it at the office.
That kind of went without saying to me. I understand. I'm not really close with anyone there anyway. In fact, Logan was now the closest friend I had there. When dinner was over, he drove me to my place and parked on the street.
Can I come up?
He asked. His apartment had been immaculate, which I hadn't found surprising. He was a control freak at the office. I assumed that bled into all aspects of his life. Certainly his sex life, not that I was complaining. However, my place was a disaster. It was always a disaster. I didn't exactly make the bed this morning, or clean up the clothes explosion, or do the dishes from dinner with Peyton last night.
So that's a no?
The brown eyes were surprised. No, but it's not like your place. Do you get claustrophobic? He gave me a wary look.
I don't think so. What level of messy are we talking about? Do I need to report it to FEMA?
When I ushered him inside, he understood. My studio apartment was cramped. The kitchen was one row of cabinets and appliances on the right. I had a bistro table in the center, and along the back wall was my sitting area. I'd left the door open to my closet, which sat adjacent to my bathroom. He didn't seem to be too bothered by the mess, but he could tell right away something was off.
Where's your bed?
I gave him a sheepish look. It's in the closet. It was easier to show him rather than explain. I pushed the door open further and pulled the string on the light. The walk-in closet was surprisingly large for such a small place, just large enough to fit my twin-sized bed. He laughed and then sobered, probably thinking about the two of us on it.
You start every day coming out of the closet.
You think you're the first one to make that joke? I've heard them all already. I slipped off my shoes and pushed all of the clothes I'd tried on this morning into a pile so there was room to make our way to the couch. I'd made it halfway there when arms circled my waist and turned me into his kiss. This one was less aggressive, almost sweet, but it got to me all the same. He lowered us both to sit on the couch as the kiss grew intense and spiraled out of control.
I can't keep my hands off of you, he said.
I could relate. His soft lips left my mouth and journeyed down the side of my neck until he found the perfect spot where my pulse was racing for him. You won't hear complaints from me. There was something about him that made me say whatever was on my mind, like he disabled my mental filter. It was strange and exhilarating. I love the way you touch me. He gave me a wicked smile.
You do, huh?
His strong arms locked around me and lifted, pulled me over him so I was straddling his lap, staring at the dark eyes that studied me. He leaned his head back on the couch and looked up at me, looking back down at him. His hand brushed my hair away and gently pulled me into his kiss. It wasn't like any of the others he'd given me. This kiss was tender and slow and filled with heat that threatened to consume me. It stole my breath and made me lightheaded. My heart pounded so fast I could hear it loud in my ears.
Someone's knocking on your door,
he said, breaking through my fog. It hadn't been my heartbeat. It was a fist banging against wood. I didn't want to move, but the knock came again.
Evie!
Blake's muffled, raised voice came from the hall. What the hell? I had told him I would call him later in the week. What happened to giving me space? I groaned and climbed off of Logan, and my kiss-weakened legs carried me to the door.
Someone let me in downstairs,
Blake announced as he came in.
I left her.
He spun to face me, oblivious to everything around him, including the man who rose to stand from the couch. Blake's face was wild and chaotic, and he looked... You're plastered. Did you drive over here? I demanded.
No, I took a cab. Did you hear me? It's over with Amy. I told her everything. I told her I love you. How you told me...
Oh, no. Stop talking, Blake.
That you love me. It's always been you, Evie.
Blake's back was to Logan, but I could see every ounce of unease in Logan's face. His dark look toward Blake was adversarial. That was months ago, I announced so Logan would hear. It isn't true anymore.
What? What do you mean it's not true?
The chaos in Blake's eyes ratcheted up another level, bordering on anger.
You just what? Stopped loving me all of a sudden because I tried to keep you from making the worst mistake of your life?
He took a step toward me, looking broken.
You could have gotten hurt, or raped, or sick.
It's not like that there, I said. Logan quietly advanced on Blake, who remained oblivious.
I don't care what it's like there. I only care about you.
6 years of want in me quivered to hear it come from Blake's lips, all while staring at the man over his shoulder, and it threatened to tear me apart. Blake's hand seized my waist and hauled me up against him, and in his drunken state, it wasn't gentle. I slammed into his chest and immediately struggled to get free from his sudden embrace.
What kind of man pays that much money to sleep with a woman? I'll tell you, the really fucked up kind. I don't think we've met,
Logan said.
Jesus Christ.
Blake stumbled away, releasing me, knocking one of my kitchen chairs sideways. The moment Blake's alcohol-hazed mind recognized Logan, his gaze went to me, white with shock. Blake, this is Logan.
Her boyfriend.
There was no hesitation from Logan, and my brain went deaf with surprise.
Your what? I thought you said he was your asshole boss.
Logan looked amused.
Yeah, I'm that too.
Blake composed himself, pulling his shoulders back. It's not like Logan was small, but Blake was tall and cut, and his size was physically intimidating. If Logan was nervous, none of it showed. He was calm and cool, and very much in control, the opposite of Blake.
Isn't it enough what you did to her at the club? You're blackmailing her to be your girlfriend, too? You're a sick bastard.
I watched as Blake's hands rounded into fists, and all of the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I'd never seen a true fist fight before, and sensed I was closer than I'd ever been to witnessing one right this second. He's not blackmailing me, I said. I asked him.
You? Did you not just hear me say I left her? For you?
Remind me when I asked you to do that, I snapped. That's right. Never. Blake's expression changed to one of disbelief.
This is what you wanted.
Maybe a little part of that had been true once. But now? No, it's not. I told you, it's too late. He didn't look like he believed a word of it, but he stood there with his eyes unblinking for a moment.
So we just go back to being friends?
Yes.
I don't think it's possible.
We've been friends for like 6 years. Why can't... Blake's expression changed and hardened.
Okay. Amy kicked me out, so I need a place to crash. Not going to fucking happen.
Logan's voice was authoritarian and terrifying. His dark eyes were fixed on me, waiting for my confirmation. Figure it out, Blake, I said. Call one of your other friends or get a hotel room. The taller man gave me a sad smirk before he went for the door.
It's not too late for us. We've waited a long time. I can wait a little longer until you figure out this guy's not for you.
He didn't slam my door when he left. He simply pulled it closed behind him, not even uttering a goodbye. Logan's gaze burned into me. Can we pretend that didn't just happen? I asked, not meeting his eyes.
Yes. Why don't we go back to my place?
His voice was light, but I could hear the edge beneath it.
I've got an adult-sized bed I'd like to do very adult things to you in.
His joke broke the tension.
and I looked at him, grateful. Only I don't think he was joking. It was hard to tell with him when he was half serious and when he was entirely serious. Yeah, I'm sure no one will think it's weird that you're driving me to work tomorrow morning.
There's an L stop 2 blocks from my place.
I didn't want to feel like I was sneaking into the office. I'd gotten ready this morning, not knowing what was going to happen between us, and this was about the last place I'd thought we'd end up. No, not tonight.
All right.
He looked disappointed, and then it morphed into something I didn't recognize.
Do you have plans this weekend?
I don't know. His expression made me nervous. Why?
My brother's wedding.
Breath caught in my throat. Are you asking me to go?
Yes.
With you? God, was my brain even on right now? Like, as your fake girlfriend? A half smile crept on his face.
As my real girlfriend. If I'm doing this relationship thing full out, I should get the perks that go along with it.
I'm sure my face filled with surprise, or maybe panic. I barely knew him, and going to his brother's wedding was like throwing me in the deep end. Not to mention I was still reeling from the concept that Logan Stone was now my boyfriend.
I can always make up an excuse for you to miss it, he said. Now that my mom believes you're a real person, she'll leave me alone.
Are you in the wedding party?
I'm the best man.
1,000 thoughts went through my head. I would undoubtedly meet his entire family. He'd have wedding duties that would probably have me on my own most of the time. But dear God, Logan in a tux. Yeah, I guess I can do that. After declaring we were in a relationship, it felt weird to be standing there, staring at each other and not touching, and I must have force-quitted my filter. I thought you weren't interested in compromises. He gave a sort of bitter laugh.
Well, your tall friend made an impression on me, specifically when he grabbed you.
Then Logan's gaze hardened.
I won't be doing any compromising, though, Evelyn. Let's be clear, I spent too much time doing that.
That's why you're single?
I'm not single anymore.
Logan. He stalked toward me, cupped my face and kissed me. My knees melted. No, my whole body melted into him. How did he do that? You realize refusing to answer only makes me more curious, I whispered. His lips on mine weren't sweet. They were persuasive and sinful and demanding.
Be curious a little longer.
You can't kiss me, I blurted out, pulling back. Not until you answer the question you passed on. That's your consequence for breaking the rule. He gave me a predatory look that made me nervous, but thrilled, and my heart beat faster.
You may think you're being smart, but you're going to cave before I do.
It came out as arrogant as he usually sounded.
Take off your clothes.
The smile froze on my face. What?
You heard me.
His hands unbuttoned his shirt, and it fell open, showing me that glorious chest I wanted to drag my fingernails down. He pulled one sleeve off, and then the other, folding his shirt and tossing it onto the couch. There was something about a gorgeous, half-undressed man with an expensive watch on one wrist that is undeniably appealing, and there was one currently standing in the center of my apartment. His fingers undid the clasp, and he set the watch on his shirt. So neat and tidy. His fingers went to his belt.
You're falling behind, he said.
His power was goddamn fascinating, and I was a slave to it. My hurried hands undid the clasp on my necklace and set it on the kitchen counter, which was the closest flat surface I could find. I stumbled back a few steps to snap off the light, so only the bulb in the closet lit the room. Not that it mattered, he'd thoroughly seen me naked, but it felt more intimate somehow when the room was darkened. The shirt went up over my head, and I tossed it on the pile.
No, leave that on,
he said when I reached behind myself to undo my bra. He removed his shoes, socks, and pants and added them to his neat pile. All he had left was a pair of black boxer briefs that made me want to drool.
I undid my pants, which fell to the floor, and I simply stepped out of them, leaving them wadded there.
I want to clarify,
he said, brushing a finger over my lips.
I can't kiss you here, but everywhere else is allowed. You will let me kiss you here.
The finger drew a line down my neck, down into my cleavage, and over to trace the top of the cup of my bra.
And here.
The finger traced down my stomach, further until it touched my center and made my mouth drop open.
And certainly here.
How did he do that? One simple touch and I was falling apart. My need for him was insatiable.
Correct.
His finger dipped down the front of my panties and touched me. Yes, I answered.
You're already so wet. Do I turn you on that much?
Yes. God, truer words had never been spoken.
You know it's mutual.
He used his other hand to take mine and set it on top of his dick, straining against the cotton of his boxers. He was so hard. It was powerful, knowing I did that to him. And with that power, I knew what I wanted to do. I put my hands on his hard chest and eased him the 3 steps back to the couch. Last time I'd gone down on him, it had lasted all of a minute. Tonight, I wanted to see just how disoriented I could make him while I got to be in control. He allowed me to push his shoulders down, and he sat in the center of my worn but comfortable couch. I knelt between his knees and pulled his boxer briefs down, setting his massive dick free.
Are you going to suck my cock?
That was the plan. Is that all right? I touched it to my lips and looked up at him. His face was determined.
If you don't mind.
I rolled my lips over my teeth and slid him into my mouth, enjoying the response that got, the sharp hiss of breath from him.
Fuck,
he whispered. His hands pushed my hair back to give him a better view. I tried to take him as deep as I could, and as I drew up, I sucked hard, hollowing my cheeks. This earned me a whole slew of profanities, but they were all encouraging. You've got a dirty mouth, boss, I said.
Stop talking and focus on your task.
Again, no clue if it was a half joke or completely serious. I started slowly, just my mouth and suction, and graduated to moving my tongue around, licking him from the base all the way to the ridge beneath the head. His hand not holding my hair back was splayed out on his thigh, and I watched his fingers curl into a fist and then flex back out. That was what I wanted. That tiny signal that maybe I could make him feel as out of control as he made me. I wrapped my hand tight around the part I couldn't fit in my mouth and dragged my grip up, then back down, following with my mouth. It took no time for his dick in my hand to be coated in saliva. He took shallow, quick breaths, watching me through hooded eyes.
Yeah, just like that.
Over and over again I moved, sometimes twisting my grip or letting my teeth ever so gently skim over him.
Fucking shit,
he groaned.
Do you have blowjobs on your resume? Under special skills, I'll give you a recommendation.
I wanted to laugh or flash him a smug smile, but his hips moved to match my pace, urging me to go faster. I did, and his breathing grew more uneven and desperate.
Evelyn, fuck. You have to stop.
I wanted to hear it and kept my grip moving on him. Why?
You'll make me come.
I used the most seductive voice I had. Maybe I want that. But the power I held over him wasn't as great when I was using my hands, and I could feel it slipped back to him.
That's not what I want.
It was almost a growl from him.
Stand up.
I was independent and strong, and raised not to take orders from anyone. Yet his orders made me shudder, made heat pool in my body, flowing toward the junction of my thighs. I put my hands on his knees and raised myself up so I stood between his legs. His hand went to the pocket of his pants nearby, fishing out a condom packet and tearing it open. I watched long fingers expertly roll it on. He slipped his hands around my waist, dragging his tongue on the skin just above my panties. Fingers slipped under the fabric, easing one side down over my hip bone, and his hot mouth followed. "Logan," I whispered. Hearing his name on my lips did something to him, like it snapped the control he had on himself, if only for a second. But it was so worth it to see him come undone. His hands yanked my panties down.
"Come here,"
he said, snaking an arm behind my back and pulling me down on him, one leg on either side and his dick right at my entrance.
"I want to be inside you."
Yes, I wanted that too. I lowered down on him, taking just the tip in, and I had to bite my lip. Would my body ever get used to him? His hands were on my hips, but helping to hold me there, not pressing me down on him. While my body was adjusting, he set his face in the crook of my neck and began kissing me, working his way up, toward my mouth where he knew he wasn't allowed. I took another inch inside, gasping against the protest my body made. It always felt so good, that first time he was completely inside me, and wanting to prolong it, I continued to move an inch at a time.
"Fuck, you're making me crazy,"
it rang out of his tortured voice. His lips wandered over my cheek, over my chin, the base of my throat, everywhere but where I wanted them and denied them. As usual, Logan Stone was right. I was going to cave long before he did. I wrapped my arms around him, setting them on his shoulders, and sank down all the way. Pleasure was immediate. The grind of my body against his created a sharply focused need, growing more acute when he guided me up and back down on him. Again and again. "Oh my God," I murmured, my head falling onto my arms banded on his shoulder. I felt his fingertips skirt across my back, releasing the bra clasp, and slipped the straps off my shoulders.
"I want to see all of you."
His voice was hushed, tender. I uncrossed my arms and let him pull the bra hurriedly away, the straps tangling briefly on my arms as they went. I think he'd had plans of another marathon session with lots of dirty talk, but apparently I'd changed his course simply by uttering his name. This wasn't fucking. This was something else completely. His hands were everywhere, caressing me, stroking me, making me tremble. I moved faster on him, my mouth planting kisses on his neck, sucking on his earlobe. His soft hair was in my hands when he locked his mouth around my nipple, swirling his tongue and using the slightest hint of teeth. I pulled his head to mine, trying to put my lips on his, but he turned away from it.
"I'm not going to break your rule,"
he said, his voice broken. His eyes were intense and spoke volumes. He wanted that connection as badly as I did. "Please?"
"No."
"Then make me come," I pleaded.
"I can do that."
His hand drifted between our bodies, touching the hard knot just above our union. His other hand wrapped on the back of my neck, holding me to him so our foreheads were touching, our lips only a breath away. He watched me intently, gauging each tiny reaction to what he was doing, watching my cues so he could send me over the edge. "Yes," I gasped. "Yes, oh my God, yes." Pleasure exploded inside me, radiating outward. I writhed and bucked on top of him, his hands holding me to him as I trembled through my orgasm.
"Fuck, Evelyn."
He was coming, pulsing and throbbing inside me, his hands so tight on me it was almost painful. My head rolled forward, resting on his heaving shoulders. "I didn't know you were close," I said, catching my breath.
"I always get really close when you come."
I lifted my head up and glared down into his face. "Why?" I asked. "Did we wait so long to start doing this?" An enormous grin spread on his face. It was good I'd already come, because the sight of it probably would have made me.
"I guess you're not upset I took the blindfold off, huh?"
Chapter 11. Tuesday morning, I passed by his office without turning my head to see if he was in. His light was on, and his door was open, and I knew eventually I'd see him. I decided on my train ride in that this would be another game. Who would be better at pretending we didn't have nasty, dirty sex in his office or crazy, passionate sex on my couch yesterday? I was determined it would be me. Before leaving my place last night, Logan had casually told me that as his girlfriend now, Rule 3 was always in effect, even if he wasn't around. So if I wanted to rub one out real quick before going to sleep, I'd have to call or text him and ask permission. I'd laughed, but of course he wasn't kidding. My second response was to tell him the rule applied to him as well. The joke was on me when I got my first ever text message from my boyfriend at 10 minutes after midnight, an hour after I'd fallen asleep.
Thinking about you going down on the girl at the club. I need your permission.
I hadn't thought this through. He was a guy, which meant he was going to be blowing up my phone every time he jerked off, which I knew guys did frequently. But I kind of liked it, knowing he would always have to think of me whenever he was close to coming. I gave him permission last night, but what would happen if I said no next time, denied his orgasm? Would he drive right over to my place and demand I give him what he wanted? What would happen if he said no to me? Oh, shit, this was going to be fun. I heated my lunch in the break room and was working on the good food business card design when my phone chimed with a text message from Logan.
I guess lunch is out of the question.
Can't. Need to get a first proof to my boss by 5.
Sounds like he's a real slave driver.
Yeah, he loves telling me what to do.
You love it.
I chuckled to myself. Yes, I did. At 4:15, I retrieved my proofs of the Good Food rebrand from the color printer and marched them into Logan's office. Do you have a minute? He looked at me like he couldn't remember my name. Always the actor.
Proofs?
He cleared the paperwork on his desk to make room for them. This was our first test on whether or not we could keep our personal feelings compartmentalized. I set the sheet down on the desktop, my eyes watching his. He scanned it quickly.
Thank you so much for wasting the ink in the color printer.
He shoved the proof back at me, displeasure verging on disgust. He thought this was a joke. I held my face steady and pressed my lips together, and the color drained from his face.
This is a real proof?
In his shock, his gaze went back to the artwork and searched for something redeeming. He came up empty.
Evelyn, this is terrible.
My face widened into a smile. I'm sorry I wasted the ink, but I had to know you wouldn't hold back. I put the real proof down on top of it. He looked pissed off and relieved.
You've worked with me long enough. You should know I don't do that. Not here.
I felt my face flush. He evaluated the proof critically, but said he liked the direction I'd taken with it and sent me back with some changes he'd like to see before presenting it. I'd been at my desk less than a minute when I got his text message.
You're going to pay for that. Family in from out of town for the wedding, so I'll be busy the next few nights. I'll call you later.
I took the train home. I was turning into a full-on addict around him, so some space might not be a bad thing. God help me, I cleaned my apartment. I actually hung clothes up and put the dishes away, which did make the place seem a little bigger, and distracted me while I waited for his call like a desperate teenage girl. At 9:45, I changed into a tank top and cotton pajama pants, brushed my teeth, and climbed into bed, the phone beside my pillow. I wasn't a morning person in the slightest, which meant I had to force myself into bed early so I could tolerate waking up at 6:30. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad now that I'd see him every day. His call came right at 10 o'clock.
Hey, sorry, dinner ran really long.
He sounded like he was walking. It's okay, I said. You're just heading home now? There was the sound of a car door slamming shut and the engine starting.
We're going to need to get our story straight.
What?
They asked a lot of questions, like how we met, how long we've been together, if you want kids.
Interrogated you, did they? I hoped he could hear the smile in my voice.
You think they won't do it to you? Think again. Yours will be worse.
So what did you tell them, boss?
I tried not to lie, he said. I told them we worked together, but I didn't mention I was your manager. I said we've been dating a few months, okay?
It's fine, I guess. It's not like we'd never met before this past Saturday. We'd been working together for over 2 years. What about children? Do I want them? I loved that he was forced to reveal this information, because everything about him screamed he wouldn't give it up easily.
Yeah, he said. You do. Which reminds me, are you on the pill?
Yes. Why was he asking? Did something happen last night that I...
No, no. I wanted to ask how you'd feel about maybe not using condoms.
Oh. I didn't know how I felt about that. It wasn't something I'd done before. Didn't he say he'd slept with 30 women before me? He must have sensed the question in my hesitation.
I'll get tested and prove I'm good, even if you want to keep using them.
I can do the same.
You don't need to do that,
he said quickly. No, it's only fair.
No.
His voice was tight.
I've already seen your test results.
Of course. At the club. What smart man would drop 12 grand without checking the quality of the product? Right. Since he couldn't see my face, I cringed a little.
Hey, whatever you're comfortable with, I am too.
The idea of having nothing between us was appealing. If you can show me it's safe, I guess we could try it.
I'd like that a lot. You will too.
His voice sounded like sin. My hand wandered down to the silk tie at the waist of my pants, toying with it. So, tell me about last night.
What about it?
We had sex twice yesterday. Wasn't enough for you? He made a noise, sort of like a laugh.
It was, trust me. But when I got home, I saw the bottle of wine from the club, and even after I'd put it away, I got really fucking hard thinking about it.
I shuddered and undid the silk knot keeping my pants closed. Which part? A wicked smile curled on my lips. Be specific.
Where are you?
In bed. I heard a car horn honk in the background, signifying he was still stuck in traffic.
You mean in the closet? Ironic, don't you think, given what you did to that girl at the club?
My fingers crept inside my panties. That wasn't exactly my idea.
No, I suppose it wasn't. But shit, it was so fucking hot. Are you touching yourself?
He asked it like he already knew the answer. Maybe.
Naughty girl. I wish I could come over right now and help.
I stifled a moan when my fingers circled, teasing myself. Why don't you?
It's late, and traffic's a bitch. You'll have to wait until I can do it right.
My fingers moved faster, becoming slick in my arousal, and I didn't bother to quiet this moan. I closed my eyes, wanting to listen to his sexy voice. Hearing him without seeing him was a lovely reminder of our time with the blindfold.
You should probably stop now,
he said, hushed.
I won't give you permission to come when you ask.
What? My hand stilled. Why?
Because of how awful that first proof was.
He said,
you're okay to enjoy yourself, but don't break our rule. I promise you, I'll know if you do.
Bullshit.
You're welcome to test me.
He was infuriating and intoxicating, and I loved every second of our back and forth. I pulled my hand away and tied the pants closed, my body muttering a protest. Fine, I said. I stopped. He chuckled.
Good girl.
The rest of the week dragged. Getting to see Logan at work, but not afterward, was torture. And today, Friday, I didn't see him at all. He had to use the day as vacation to help with last-minute wedding preparations and drive out to Arlington Heights to pick up his tux. We'd talked every night, but as Friday drew closer, those conversations were later and shorter. He'd refused me all goddamn week. And yesterday, I'd barely kept myself from breaking the rule. I was beginning to hate this, and when he asked permission to come himself, I told him to fuck off. He hinted I was only making it worse on myself. I'd gotten approval, from him of course, to leave work early at 4 and take the blue line out to Arlington Heights. I changed awkwardly in the microscopic and filthy bathroom on the train into a gray and yellow sheath dress with yellow heels. He was waiting against his BMW at the Arlington Park racetrack, which was right on the other side of my train stop, wearing a gray suit with a black shirt beneath it, made casual with 2 buttons open. We didn't say anything to each other as I walked toward his car, and he straightened. He opened the passenger side door for me, and then buried his face in my neck, kissing me there, since he still hadn't answered my question from Monday. "Missed you today at the office, boss," I murmured.
"I bet. Did Jamie get any work done?"
"I'm sure she put in as good of an effort as usual." When he was this close, I could smell his subtle cologne, and it made my knees go weak.
"You have no idea,"
he whispered in my ear,
"how good you look to me. I suggest you get in the car before I bend you over the hood."
When I looked in his eyes, I was sure this was not an empty threat. Paper crinkled underneath me when I sat, and I pulled it out, scanning it. My mouth went dry. He got into the driver's seat and gave me a coy smile.
"That copy's yours, for your records."
He feigned seriousness. I folded the test results once, twice, and then once more, sliding it into my purse. My face felt like it was on fire. Bareback, I believe the term is. That's what his test results had cleared him for. Like the night he'd taken me to his place, once the car was in gear, his right hand went to rest comfortably on my knee, his hand just under the edge of my skirt. I liked it, but it was 1,000 degrees in his car, and the heat of his hand wasn't helping.
"I should probably warn you,"
he said, reading my mind and rolling up the windows, turning on the air conditioning.
"My family may be a bit overly excited to meet you."
"Why's that?"
"I didn't bring home too many of my past girlfriends, so taking you as my date gives the impression things are pretty serious between us."
Weren't they? He'd paid a rather large amount of money to have me. I knew how he meant it, though. There may be lots of personal questions as his family tried to discern whether or not I was worthy if Logan decided I was the one. It's exactly what my aunts and uncles did to my past boyfriends. Oh my God, I bet Logan would have them eating out of the palm of his hand in no time. Should I be nervous? Because, don't worry, I am. I was dreading facing Susan again.
"Don't be. There's nothing to worry about. Worrying is strictly my mom's territory. She's got that covered for you. Now, I like Hillary a lot, but her family," he said, referring to the bride, "they're fucking crazy."
He gave me a quick course in family history. The groom, Nick, was 2 years younger than Logan. Their parents had married young and divorced when Logan was 10, and 4 years later his mother had remarried. Logan's half-brother, Garrett, was a junior in high school. The relationship between Susan and Logan's dad was cordial, according to Logan. His dad hadn't remarried, but had a live-in girlfriend. As soon as we'd parked by the picturesque church, he ran around to open my car door for me and took my hand. I hoped he thought it was the warm weather that had it sweaty. I found mass introductions terrifying, and I was horrible at remembering names. We'd only made it up a few steps outside the church before it began. It was a parade of faces and handshakes, and then I was deposited in a pew beside a cousin who'd been charged with one of the readings. I had no idea if she was from the bride's side or Nick's, but she was friendly and charming, and I was pissed at myself for insta forgetting her name. Nick didn't look a whole lot like Logan. He was handsome in a wholesome boyish way, less of a hard edge. I watched him joke with his groomsmen, looking completely at ease, excited, like he couldn't wait to get married. Hillary was petite, with a huge mane of curly hair and big eyes, and she seemed physically unable to look anywhere else but at her fiancé. They were hands down the most adorable couple I'd seen. Occasionally, I'd catch Logan's eye and give him a small smile. Couldn't wait to see him standing beside his brother tomorrow. Was there anything more romantic than watching two people pledge their love to each other? It wasn't like I was going to turn into a pile of mush about it. I wasn't much of a crier. But it would be hard not to fall under the spell of the day, just a little bit. When the rehearsal was over, I waited until she was free and then went to Susan. "Hi," I said in my friendliest voice. "I'm sorry I was so rude before when we met." "Oh, honey, don't be silly. You were fine. I'm sorry for barging in on you two. It was nice to finally meet you. I was beginning to think you weren't real." I felt a hand on my back, and Logan appeared at my side. and soon after I was whisked away to meet the rest of his family involved in the wedding. We sat with his father and his girlfriend at dinner, who both seemed like nice people. His father was a man of few words, and often I felt compelled to fill the silence when neither of the stone men would. To my delight, and I suspect Logan's horror, there was a slideshow of the bride and groom, pictures of them growing up and when they first started dating. "Nice shorts," I whispered to him when there was a soccer photo of him and Nick. He couldn't have been more than 8, and apparently his hair hadn't always been perfect. But in this picture, it was perfectly adorable. He'd been a cute kid. There was one later in the show of Nick and Logan in athletic apparel, flushed and sweaty, each with medals around their necks that boasted they'd finished last year's Chicago Marathon. Even after running 26 miles, he still looked amazing. "When's your next race?" I asked, in case I wanted to come or, you know, sit at home and feel like a sloth. He gave a slight smile.
"The marathon's October 11th.
I pulled out my phone and put it in my calendar. When dinner was over, we mingled for a little while longer and then said goodnight. Most of Nick's family lived in Oak Park and were heading back toward the city like we were. Traffic wasn't bad for once, and we chatted about the rehearsal dinner. "I didn't get grilled by anyone," I said.
"I think that will be tomorrow. We're sitting with my mom's family."
His hand brushed a little further up my leg. It sent shivers up my spine and made me reconsider the plans I'd made for us to meet Peyton for drinks. You'd think it had been 3 years since I'd been with him, and not 3 days. We stopped at my apartment to pick up my overnight bag. Yesterday, Logan had asked me to stay with him at his place tonight. He'd booked a hotel room for tomorrow, teasing we were going to try to outdrink Hillary's Irish Catholic family. 2 days with him, nonstop. It was too much and too soon, but I didn't care. I suspect this was the true reason he denied my orgasms. He wanted to ensure I'd agree to it because I was too desperate not to. Plus, I think he was worried I would make him late.
"What the hell happened here? Did someone break in and clean your place?"
"No, this is your fault for telling me no all those times I asked for permission." He flashed a smile and then looked at his watch.
"I assume we don't have time to get in the closet."
I laughed and got hot at the same time. "No, we don't." He helped me load my overnight bag in his car, and this time when I was seated in the passenger side, his hand went to my knee and dragged upward, carrying my skirt with it. He made a noise of disappointment when his fingers brushed the silk edge of my panties.
"I was hoping you weren't wearing anything under your skirt."
I raised an eyebrow. "Sorry, not when I'm meeting your family."
"That's done now. So take them off and put them in the glove box."
I blinked at the challenge, momentarily stunned. My hands went under the dress and I pulled them down slowly, the damp fabric running over the skin on the inside of my thighs. I wouldn't have thought this was sexy, but I liked the idea that part of me would be in his car. The compartment clicked closed, and his fingers were on me, sliding in me, circling where I was aroused. I was instantly out of breath, and my hand latched onto the leather-wrapped door handle.
"This,"
he said, fucking me with his fingers, first one and then another,
"is where I'm going to put my cock tonight. Would you like that?"
"Yes," I gasped and opened my legs wider to give him better access. His windows were tinted, but still anyone in an SUV who got close could look down and see what he was doing to me.
"Do you want me to make you come?"
"Fuck yes," I moaned. His fingers pumped in and out, building to a furious pace.
"Use your hand too, since I can't use both of mine. Help me get you off."
I was eager to obey the command. My left hand rubbed my clit while his fingers slammed inside me, making my grip tighten on the door. The need took hold, forced my hips to match his rhythm while I touched myself shamelessly. I probably should have been worried about his focus being on the road, but shit, I felt completely out of control, a willing slave to the desire for him that built and built. "I need permission."
"Yes,"
he said.
"I can't wait to come inside that pussy."
The realization that that was going to happen was his final push to send me over the cliff and tumble into an orgasm that was like a bite right on my center. I cried out and shoved his hand away, overly sensitive to his touch, shuddering on his leather seat. He parked and turned the car off, turning his focus to me, watching the aftershocks of my orgasm rock my body. I closed my eyes, letting the blood rushing in my ears quiet some. I was surprised to see him still sitting there, watching me. He'd always moved so quickly to get my door. "Is everything okay?" I put a hand on his cheek.
"I just need a minute, is all."
For his massive erection to go away.
"I don't think you realize how much I like watching you come."
"Probably not as much as I like you doing it. You're pretty good at it." He leaned forward and kissed me on the cheek, just to the side of my lips. Frustration was immediate. I missed his lips on mine. "I give up, Logan. Please kiss me." He had a look like it was a bittersweet victory, and his eyes went clear.
"Tomorrow, if you're a good girl."
He threw open his door and rounded the car, leaving me stunned and full of anticipation. Peyton could wear anything and look good. She had on a low-cut ivory sequin top and black tuxedo jacket, paired with jeans that looked like they'd been handcrafted for her. She spent hours in the gym every other day, and it showed. Logan was attracted to her. Just about every person in the bar was, and it wasn't a big deal. I was used to it. I appreciated Logan's attempt to not stare at her full breasts that were teasing out of the top of her shirt. "You paid big money to sleep with my girl here," Peyton said.
"It was well spent," he replied.
A smile grew on her face. "So I've heard from both Evie and Tara." He glanced at me, confused. He hadn't heard that name before. "Tara was the woman in the room with us," I said in a hushed voice. I wasn't ashamed of it, but still not comfortable saying it out loud. "She had nice things to say about you, Logan." Peyton toyed with the straw in her drink. "Very nice things to say about Evie. Can we, like, not talk about that?" I shifted on my feet in the yellow heels that were amazing and torturous. "Nope," she said, setting her sights back on Logan. "First threesome for you?" My mouth hung open, and I had to make an effort to shut it. I hadn't asked him that when I had the chance. And now I realized there were a whole bunch of other questions I should have asked. When he'd lost his virginity, craziest place he'd done it, how many girls had let him go in the back.
"Yeah, but it wasn't really what I'd consider a threesome."
Peyton nodded. "Because he couldn't touch. Yeah, that's extra, like double extra."
"Does that happen a lot?"
he asked. "No, usually if it's a three-way, the guy brings in his girlfriend or wife. Paying for one girl's expensive enough." She finished her drink, and Logan signaled to the bartender she wanted another, and his hand fell to rest on my hip, his arm around my back. The bar was getting crowded, and I liked being pressed against him, almost in a possessive way. I was his. "I'm curious," Peyton said. "Why did you ask Tara to stay and watch?" He gave her a tight smile, and I could sense his shields were getting ready to come up.
"How far are you planning to go into my sexual preferences?"
"As far as you'll let me."
"I asked her to stay because I thought she was hot. I was hoping she'd want to join in."
The bartender set down a new drink, but Peyton ignored it. Her gaze was fixed on him, serious. "You're lying." She'd always been so good at reading people. Even the perfect actor Logan Stone didn't have her fooled. From the sharp inhale of breath, I could tell he was off guard. He didn't like being called a liar, even if it was true. His dark eyes never glanced my direction as he spoke.